did blacks flock to the MLB after Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier? Why did blacks flock to the PGA after Tiger Woods became a phenom? Why did blacks flock to tennis after the Williams sisters began to dominate? Why did whites begin watching the NBA after Larry Bird was drafted? And why did Latinos watch baseball after Roberto Clemente entered the league? In fact, why did Latinos watch tennis after Pancho Gonzalez dominated with the number one ranking for 8 years? Why did Latino girls gain an interest in the PGA Tour after Nancy Lopez started winning? And why are whites, Europeans, and average Americans flocking to the WNBA since Caitlin Clark got drafted by the Indiana Fever? Well, let's find out, my friends. Hello, everybody. This is William Del Pilar. This is Points on the Board, where politics and sports meet. So let's get right down to it. Obviously, I'm going to be talking about Caitlin Clark and all the controversy surrounding her, the lies by the mainstream media stating it's Make America Great Again, racist supporting her, the lies of how a lot of black lesbians and a lot of the black players in the league don't want to support her. There's a strong base of support for Caitlin Clark from within the league, from within WNBA ownership, as well as the fans out there. But let's not deny something. Race is an issue. Race is a factor. That's what I should have said instead of race is an issue. Race is a factor. According to Aja Wilson, I think it's a huge thing. I think a lot of people may say it's not about black and white, but to me, it is. And that's a true quote. She's jealous. That's one thing. There's a lot of players, black and white, who are jealous and envious about a woman who made the most money with NIL in college, entered the league with a massive shoe deal, and has taken the league by storm, has raised viewership by up to 400% at times in five home games because of her. She totaled the amount of fans coming in five games than came in all of 2023 for the Indiana Fever. She's a phenom. She is changing the game. She's already breaking records. And she has a huge base of white fans. Now, in this tribalistic world we live in, Latinos, blacks, Asians, that's racist. No, it's not. It's human nature. I rattled off Jackie Robinson, Tiger Woods, the Williams sisters, Roberto Clemente, Pancho Gonzalez, Nancy Lopez. These were black or Latinos. Larry Bird being white. Their culture, their people began to watch the sport after they entered. Now, why is it racist if it's white, but not if it's not white? Why isn't it racist when it was Jackie Robinson, the Williams sisters, Roberto Clemente, Pancho Gonzalez, Nancy Lopez? Well, because we live in a tribalistic world where we're trying to blame whites for everything. I'm Latino. I've said it over and over. My family runs from black to white. Right now, my biracial niece is working for me, and I've been called racist because I talk about these topics.
That's a big no-no, William.
I have been told, William, don't talk about this. All you're going to do is alienate. What are you trying to do? I'm trying to educate you. I'm tired of the hate. I'm tired of Democrats telling me that color separates us. By that rule, my grandmother, who was called the N-word here in the States when she came to visit, would have hated me if Democrats had their way. My brown relatives, cousins, my biracial niece, they're all supposed to hate based on color. No, I reject that. 1,000%, and I will always push back. That's why I'm podcasting about it. Blacks flock to the PGA because Tiger Woods became a phenom and the top player. But you know what? He had millions of white fans too. See, that's what I see in all these sports. The Williams sisters. Magic Johnson when he entered the league. You know, Jackie Robinson, his staunchest supporters were his own teammates in defending him. Whites have always supported this. But because we live in a tribalistic world right now, you're supposed to hate everything white. And because they've created this tribalism, this hate towards one another, when Caitlin Clark entered the league and whites began to watch the WNBA, no different than blacks watching the PGA, than blacks taking a major interest in MLB, than Latino young girls wanting to watch the women's PGA tour when Nancy Lopez entered. It's human nature. You study this in college. It's called anthropology. Do you understand me? Anthropology. Anthropology studies human societies, cultures, and behavior, often through direct observation or fieldwork. I learned this in college. One of my courses, I can't remember if this was a mandatory course or if it was one of those that fills out the general electives, but it was eye-opening and it was common sense because you live it. There's many subfields too. There's cultural anthropology that focuses on the cultural practices, beliefs, and the social structures. Obviously, the one that we all know about, archaeology, studies past human societies through artifacts and remains. Linguistic examines language and communication. Biological and physical anthropology investigates human evolution, genetics, and primatology. Obviously, cultural anthropology is the one that interests me and should interest you. How do we study this? There's field work. You conduct research through direct observation and interaction. Back in the day, anthropologists used to try to watch from afar so they wouldn't interject themselves into that society. They can watch them in their natural habitat. Think of it from the perspective of television or a camera. When somebody knows they're being filmed, they're acting differently than they would if they weren't being filmed. It's just human nature. You know, there's comparative approach when they're comparing different cultures and to understand the universal patterns and the variations within the various cultures. And there's the holistic perspective, which considers aspects of human life, including historical, social, economic, and ecological context. So anthropology, it's cultural preferences and social tendencies, or as I call it, human nature. There we go. So obviously, Anthropology 101 is what I'm calling this. It's an introduction to cultural anthropology, which is social or social-cultural anthropology. It's a study of human society in all its profound variety. Here's what's very important is what I just put up. In-group bias. People tend to favor their own cultural, ethnic, or social group over others. It's a basic human instinct. It's human nature. And so when Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier, blacks flocked to it because of an in-group bias. They saw their guy in the league. When Larry Bird entered, whites saw their guy in the league. And for the record, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson saved the league. Nancy Lopez with Latino girls in a league that was mostly known jokingly as being lesbian, the PGA female tour. There's a beautiful young woman, Nancy Lopez, Latina. She wasn't even allowed to play in the country club in her town where she grew up because Latinos and women wouldn't be accepted in it. So that's a big reason why these cultures, their followers, meaning the fans, gain an interest because they favor their own culture, ethnic, and social group over others. They wanted to see them win. They were rooting for them. However, there's also something called homophily, and that's where individuals often associate with those who share similar characteristics, such as language, religion, or background. So you have in-group bias and homophily. Translation. We are more comfortable with like-minded individuals. Now, that's just a culture, because back in the day, Whites were a culture that evolved and became one of their own. So thus, that's who they interacted and grew familiar and comfortable with. In Africa, it was blacks. In Europe, it's whites. Central and South America was Latinos, and there were Indians everywhere, Native Americans, not Native Americans, but Indians, you know, in South and Central America, North America, then you have the actual Indian country, you know. But I grew up in a mixed clan, and because I grew up in that as a child, I accepted my brown cousins. I accepted the fact that my older sister had Indian features, Asian features. I accepted the fact that my mother did not look like any physical association, yet we were blood. She was like this little Asian. I accepted the fact that my grandmother looked black because that's how I was born and raised. So I don't believe it's indicative of just one color, one culture. I think it became that because that's how human nature and how we evolved tended to happen. But I was brought up in a completely different culture of months. And it's funny when you see pictures of little children, blacks and whites hugging each other playing, because they don't see that they see, they know they're different, but they don't recognize tribalism. That's a top hate. Tribalism is hate. I saw a 2-year-old black girl hating on cops. That's top. She wasn't born that way. So when they talk about a white racist gene, that's a crock. Whites bought slaves from black Africans who were waiting for them at the beachheads to sell them to them. A few whites would go inland with black guys and people they made deals with or were working with, and they'd come out with the slaves. So is there a black racist gene that made blacks conquer other blacks and then sell them? No, it's sheer stupidity. It's anti-science is what it is. It's just human nature in our makeup. The strong take from the weak. In the Roman Empire, slaves were conquered lands. They were same skin color, different culture, same race. Comfort and familiarity. Being with one's kind provides comfort, shared experiences, and familiarity. Social identity theory. People derive self-esteem from group affiliations, leading to a preference for in-group members. So theoretically, the WNBA is its own group affiliation, but yet they're not welcoming Caitlin Clark, not all of them. So this is talking more about like-minded groups. But the downside of all this, stereotypes and prejudice. Cultural biases can lead to stereotypes and prejudice against outgroup members. So here we have Caitlin Clark, college phenom, white. Like 60% of the NBA is black. Like 40% are lesbian. You hear Monica McNutt talking about queers and blacks should be the face. Actually, this is a business. The face of the league should be the one that drives the greatest revenue, that brings the most fans of the game. People forget the NBA was dying. So was hockey. You could only catch those in the 80s and 70s and 80s on tape delay. After 11:30, after the local news. That's how you would catch that. Then came Larry Bird, a white guy, and Magic Johnson, a black guy. And they saved the league. The NBA is in a similar, the WNBA is in a similar situation. They have been losing money every year since their inception in 1996. I don't want to say that nobody watches because it's queers and blacks. I just think it wasn't a great product. So you needed something to bring in a crowd. And then Caitlin Clark became a phenom in college. And her name began to transcend female basketball. Men who watched basketball started gaining interest. Little girls started gaining interest. The average person, man, who's Caitlin Clark, man? I hear she's the bomb. She started shattering records. And obviously with that came hate and envy. And I do mean that. There are a lot of petty people. But she superseded that and just rose above it. And she's actually a great, great spokesperson for the league. She doesn't let any of this flat affect her. She's even keeled. You can tell she's becoming more and more beloved by players in the league, by her teammates. She will do great wonders and possibly bring the WNBA into profitability. She can break the stereotypes and prejudice. Remember what I just said. Cultural biases can lead to stereotypes and prejudice against out-group members. Caitlin Clark is a straight heterosexual woman. The stereotype of the league is tall, black, and lesbian. And that's not true. As I said, 60% is black, 40% is lesbian. So there's a lot of white and a lot of straight, a lot of European, some Latinos, some biracials. It's a mixed league that's dominated by African Americans, but it's not as Monica McNutt wants you to believe. As she said, queer and black. It's not that, it's more than that. And Caitlin Clark is making an impact. Again, cultural biases can lead to stereotypes and prejudice against out-group members. And that's what we're seeing towards Caitlin Clark. A lot, because politics has made us so tribal, specifically the Democrat Party. I heard Biden today at an NAACP just talking about racism and blacks. I'm sorry, and Trump. Yet Trump gave us the greatest economy and did more for black Americans as well as Latinos than any other president. Trump had the working wage rising, and that doesn't happen. It was white. Blacks benefited the most. So these are just racist tropes being pushed on, and poor Caitlin Clark is feeling the brunt of it. Human nature dictated that a lot of whites would follow her. I did. I'm like, here's this skinny white girl coming in and dominating. A lot of black NBA players who love her to death and support her are saying the same thing, you know? So she's actually elevating the league, and some people don't like that. Those people, we have to ostracize those people. We can't allow what Caitlin Clark is doing to be stopped because somebody's just envious. So there's something called cross-cultural interaction. Efforts to bridge cultural gaps can promote understanding and reduce biases. That's what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to educate you to sit there and make you understand this is human nature. That's why blacks flocked to all these black athletes who broke barriers. That's why whites flocked to the NBA when Larry Bird enter the league. That's why a lot of young black boys are now young black quarterbacks because of those players who broke the barrier. Jason Sehorn really didn't create much of a barrier breaking with the cornerback position, though, but he broke the barrier in his own way. He was a running joke, not in inside the league when he would cover a brother and pretty much blanket it. You know, there's stories that would come out that you hear that the news would report on, they'd be ragging on the receiver. Man, you let Jason Sehorn take you out, you know? And it was said in good fun. I remember growing up, my friends who were black and Latino, dude, you're the only Puerto Rican I know with two left feet, they would tell me. I eventually learned how to groove and dance. And then I remember being at a nightclub with my friend who was black, and it was an all-black nightclub, and then we had to bolt and leave. I was like, dude, why? Man, I'm getting ready to get to hit some of these chicks, you know, they want me, they're talking on me, once they found out I was Puerto Rican. Well, because a group of black men there did not like that, and they were getting rowdy, and they wanted to take me and my friend out, so we had to leave. You know, so what should be fun and a give and take with jokes is how I grew up in terms of different cultures, different races, different colors. And maybe because I was in a military town, and you will find no greater diversity than in a military town. high school, blacks, whites, a lot of I love the Indian where I grew up at, Asians. We were all friends. Now, we did have our own groups. Again, human nature, but the interactions that brought us together, we all bonded. I'm still friends with those high school buds of mine to this day. There's a group of black, Latino, and whites that I'm still friends with. The ones I was friends with were Asian, kind of stopped, just kind of went our own ways. But there's that other group I'm still tight with. So when an outsider enters the world of a different culture or race, in this case, Caitlin Clark, straight, white, financially successful, before even playing a game in the WNBA, human nature will show its ugly colors. And I say ugly colors in this case because of tribalism, because of politics. Normally, they would kind of like, who is this chick? Then they would accept her after she proved herself. Now, it's Monica McNutt demanding obedience. You better show us your white privilege and accept what this league is all about. That's wrong. She should be ostracized, but she's not. She should be, but she's not. See, we ostracize white races. We don't ostracize Latino or black or Asian races. And we should. Because until we ostracize those who push and promote hate, we'll never come together. And we need to do that. And I believe Caitlin Clark is one who can help make that happen. Again, race and homophily. The tendency for people to prefer living with others who are like them is known as a homophily effect. This phenomenon occurs across various characteristics, including race, ethnicity, social class, gender, religion, and political affiliation. Do you see that? It's not just color. Here we go. Yeah, I was looking for this. Homophily, the tendency for people to prefer living with others who are like them is known as a homophily effect. The tendency for people to prefer living with others who are like them. That's why you still see segregation, self-segregation in the suburbs, in the city. It has nothing to do with racism. It's comfortability. And this is scientific. What we have to do is work towards coming together. We do that through schools, through jobs, through sporting events. This phenomenon occurs across various characteristics, not just race, but race, ethnicity, culture, ethnicity, social class, the rich like being with the rich. The poor were forced to be with one another. We like to be with the rich. Gender, my belief that men can't claim to be women and play women's sports. Religion and political affiliation, conservative with conservatives, liberals with liberals. But because we are civilized, we used to work together. Now, Democrats want to travel. And it is Democrats. The Republican Party was made to help end racism. I always tell a black person or a Latino, come with me to a conservative meeting. And every single time, not one time, has it not happened. Every single time they're shocked at the friendliness, the openness. I've had people tell me, William, man, this isn't nothing like I thought it would be. It's because you've been lied to. My friends, don't believe me. Call me up. We'll go to a meeting and you'll be shocked. The homophily effect is evident in racial and ethnic preferences. Again, people tend to associate with those who share similar racial backgrounds. Look, all this is complex. It's influenced by culture, economic, and historical factors. However, our desire for social connections and similarity, that can shape our living arrangements and interactions. And what I'm trying to say there is our desire to go out and interact. We can change this. We don't have to do it just white the white, black the black, Latino the Latino. That's why I love safe spaces. We need safe spaces. No, you know, all safe spaces do is promote racism. Why? Because when you sit there and go to a safe space and it's all white or all black or all Latino, actually, it's not white. That's the only safe space not allowed. But when it's black or Latino, all it does is create more racism because you start to bitch about the other cultures. Latinos will bitch about whites and blacks. Blacks will bitch about Latinos, whites, and Asians. Safe spaces are not good. They promote greater hate and greater racism. Part of the interruptions, Michael Wilbon called out the national media for failing to recognize the aspect of race in Chandler Carter's hard foul of Caitlin Clark. That's what it was, a flagrant foul. She went in there, just didn't like her. Boom. Hip checked her. Flagrant. She should have been suspended for a few games. That's also how you end this. Suspend people. Eventually, the players themselves will have to come along. But the league can't take steps, not to create or force that change, but to discipline and go, no, you're not going to cross that line. Because that line goes from there to violence, as we saw with BLM and Antifa, one being a racist group, the other one being a fascist group. Wilbon discussed, and this happened months ago, Wilbon discussed the importance of race in the discussion about Caitlin Clark and how Larry Bird and Magic Johnson's rivalry impacted and grew the league. So there's a lot of positive that can come about this. They're trying to make Angel Reese Caitlin Clark's nemesis, but it's an artificially manufactured rivalry. Magic and Bird went back to college from the sense of on the court. Caitlin Clark is just light years ahead of Reese. Reese does double doubles, and about a third of her double doubles have come from her catching her own rebounds. A third, about 30%. It's ridiculous. Caitlin Clark is shattering. So they are going to have to find somebody to help create a rivalry. That's what they're looking for. I don't think it's going to be Angel Reese, and you're seeing that now. Caitlin Clark's starting to separate herself from the other rookies in the league. It's not even close. It's like she's literally like in the top 5 in 20 categories. I mean, she's shattering records. So I'm not sure rivalry will actually work or happen. But here's what I am sure of. Michael Jordan didn't really have a rival. And that's how I see Caitlin Clark. Not because I don't want a rivalry. Rivalries are fun and they're great for the growth of the league, and the WNBA actually needs it. But I think in a year or two, Caitlin Clark is going to be the Michael Jordan of the WNBA, even greater than what Michael Jordan was in the NBA. Caitlin Clark is a white American star in the sport of 60% blacks, 40% lesbians. And it's okay for people to admit they identify with someone. That's what Wilbon said. Again, Tiger Woods, the Williams sisters, Dominique Dawes in gymnastics, Arthur Ashe in tennis, and obviously the greatest of them all, Jackie Robinson. And what I love about the Jackie Robinson story isn't just Jackie Robinson. It's how his white teammates were willing to throw, I don't want to say their lives on the line, but they were willing to go to hell to defend him because he was their teammate. Again, he became part of their culture. He was a Dodger. He was one of them. That's what I love about sports. They bring sports in the military. They bring us all together. In sports, to win a championship. In the military, you don't work together, you die. It really is that simple. You know, Kornheiser agreed with Wilbon, but said Clark is being deliberately hit by her opponents. And that's true, too. It's part of the growth process of change. We've kind of regressed as a country with tribalism, and it's not a good look. Other nations mock us, laugh with us, and other world leaders, China, Russia, leaders in Central America, they mock us because they see this. And they're like, huh, who are you guys to preach human rights? Y'all can't even get your own act together. And, you know, Wilbon was right when he talked about this. Again, this show was months and months ago. The WNBA can't legislate this, but they can penalize for flagrant fouls, suspend for when people cross the line. In the end, racism and bigotry are in every culture. That's no doubt. I have seen that firsthand. I have seen white racism, which is minimal now. We've literally wiped it out. I was arguing with my partner, white nationalism is a problem. Nah, he's got a problem with it. I told him, go look at the stats. You know? Because it's literally non-existent. However, I have seen Black and Latino racism, people of color, I've seen their racism rise. And because society doesn't deem them to be capable of being racist, which is the the biggest lie in the world. Hate is top. When I went to Compton, I was told by my friends who are black, do not stop in there. Do not get lost. Or else you will regret it, possibly with your life. That's what I was told. I was told that by the uncle of my friend whose car I was dropping off there. He kind of hugged me like this. Said, bro, you go out this way, that way. This is where you need to go. And you're going to hit the freeway here. Again, racism and bigotry are in every culture. And we must fight that within ourselves. I've had conversations with my friends who are black and my Latino relatives. And we all acknowledge there is racism. You have to, but by growing up together, by working together, playing together, it changes. But we constantly have to look in the mirror and understand we have to make that change. Because human nature, we want to be with like-minded people. We want to live with like-minded people. Culturally, ethnically, religiously, however you want to say it. But that's human nature. That's anthropology. It's a college course. It should become a mandatory course. And the final thing I will say for people who doubt me, if white supremacy is as bad as you say, and as a Latino, I have seen white racism. As a Latino, I have seen Latino racism here in SoCal towards blacks. As a Latino, I've seen Latino racism towards whites. I've seen towards Asians. I've seen black racism towards Asians. Something like 60 or 80% of hate crimes towards Asians are done by blacks. And my point isn't to denigrate any one of these cultures, including my own of being Latino. It's to point out hate is everywhere and we have to ostracize it. We have to condemn it. There were over 400 race hoaxes from, I want to say, like 2012 to 2017 or something, 2010 to 2017, accusing whites of racism. Over 400 were race hoaxes. Obviously, Jussie Smollett is one of the most well-known. We have to overcome that. We have to ostracize it. And we do that by looking in the mirror at ourselves. Caitlin Clark is going to bring people together. That young woman, she's mature beyond her years when they try to get her involved in these racial politics. And how she answers, she stays away from it by giving the proper answer, the true answer. Hey, it's about my teammates. I like my teammates or this or that. So just understand human nature means we want to be with our own kind. I'm looking for the meeting. Again, here we go. Homophily, preferring to live with others who are like them or like one another. Where's that at? Homophily, individuals often associate with those who share similar characteristics such as language, religion, or background, including race and culture. We have to fight that in terms of getting along with one another. Caitlin Clark will help us get there. But she can't do it herself. We have to work together. That is your lesson of the day. Do not forget, you can check out this clip, my podcast, Political Entertainment, and we have a lot of sports podcasts at grumblingsmedia.com. You can find us on social media platforms such as YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Google. Actually, not Google anymore. I think they did away with their podcast. But Apple, Pandora, and Spotify. Until next time, I am William Del Pilar, and this has been A Points on the Board. Click.